Bible gives very specific responsibilities to the elders and the pastors. Specifically, prayer and the ministry of the Word. But God gives us a much greater responsibility to the church than just prayer and the ministry of the Word. That's a very important role, but there's also an additional role that the church is supposed to play. One of the things that... Let me start this over again. Let me fix my thought. If we go to Matthew 28, we see what the Great Commission is for the Church of Jesus Christ. Jesus started in verse 18, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." He starts with His authority. And then He tells the church what they have the responsibility to do. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." It's very important to recognize this isn't the role of elders and pastors. This is the role of the church. Now, as members of the church, the elders and the pastors should be doing this. But this is the role of the church. Making disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which doesn't mean that you may have a restriction that only pastors baptize. But getting the repentance to the point, leading the person to repentance to the point where they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not just the role of the leaders of the church. It's the role of every member of the church. And Jesus goes on to say, "Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." Again, that's not just the role of elders and pastors. This is the responsibility of the church. "And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He promises His presence with His church so that they can accomplish these things. So as I speak to you as the heads of various departments, in what your responsibilities are, in the end, it all comes back to the same thing. Fulfilling what Jesus Christ commanded the church to do. When you think of your role as the head of the men's fellowship, you need to think of that as your role is to fulfill the Great Commission in that aspect.
abinda Ubangiji ya fada a cikin littafin Matthew aya 28 zuwa 19 har karshe.
Because as the church, we've been told what our role is in the world. But God also says there's many parts to the body. That some people are hands and some people are feet. There's some people whose focus should be on witnessing to the nations. In outreach and calling people to repentance. There should be other people whose focus is to get people to understand what Jesus Christ commanded. And teaching isn't just through words. Teaching is also through doing. So this morning I want to talk about the responsibilities of the lay leaders inside the church. And then this afternoon talk about the responsibility to outside the church. But first we need to talk about the most important thing. Which is where you stand before God. Because the most important thing, if you're going to accomplish the work of the Great Commission, is to make sure that you are part of the true church. And we want to think that's easy. We've made a profession of faith. We've said, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. But when Jesus Christ walked the earth, they all said the Messiah was their Lord. They all said they were waiting for the Messiah to come. And the Messiah comes and they kill him. It's easy to deceive ourselves to think that we're right with God. That because we have said certain words, that our hearts are right with God. But the Jews all said their hearts were right with God. And God said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. So you need to check your own hearts. Make sure that you're actually fulfilling the Great Commission. In Philippians 2:12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? True Christians work out their salvation with fear and trembling. Because true Christians fear God. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you do not fear God, you do not know God. If you do not know God, it doesn't matter if with your tongue you profess Jesus is Lord. We all need to recognize how easy it is to lie to ourselves. To think we're fine with God. But if you do not fear Him, if you are not working out your salvation with fear and trembling, you shouldn't be leading other people. Because it's about you, it's not about God. And it can be hard to understand where you are with God. A lot of people say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Where they say, you're fine with God. But that's what false prophets have always said. It's the consistent message for thousands of years. To look at somebody in their sins and trespasses. And saying, you're fine with God. The Bible says something very different. It says, without holiness, no one will see God. Before you can fulfill the Great Commission, you need to deal with sin in your own life. If you're not dealing with sin in your own life, then don't try to deal with sin in other people's. Don't try to lead part of the Church of Jesus Christ. To do the work of Christ. When you're not doing the work of Christ in your own life, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I want to read the parable of the sower from Matthew 13. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And he sows seeds. And some falls on the wayside. It falls on the road. So of course it's not going to grow there. Instead, the birds come and devour them. And then some falls on the stony places, where there was just a little soil. Earth. And they immediately sprang up. But because they had no root, they withered and died. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground. and yielded a crop. Some 100-fold. Some 60. Some 30. The plant in each one of those three cases. The plant. When it sprung up, whether it was on thin soil,
thank you, sir. So the parable of the sower.
So some of the seed fell on thin soil. And when it came up, it was a plant. Some fell among the thorns. But when it sprang up, it was the same kind of plant. And some fell upon good soil. And it was the same kind of plant. Anybody looking at him couldn't tell the difference between the three. They couldn't tell whether they were really in Christ or not. Until Jesus Christ explains later that in the thin soil, when the sun burns down, it dies. Because that's the picture of persecution. When people say nasty things about you because of your faith, where you say, I must obey God rather than man. If when they say no, do what I say. If we follow man rather than God. We don't have true faith. Because we didn't resist persecution. Or among the thorns. Where we start out with great zeal. And you see this in the church all the time. Where they hear a message and they come forward with tears. And then they come with great zeal to the meetings of the church. But then all of a sudden things start to happen in their life. And they start to come less and less to church. They stop praying as much. They stop reading God's Word. And maybe they continue in church. Because it's or when it's convenient. They're also not saved. The only ones that are saved are those who overcome the cares of the world. That overcome the persecution and produce fruits for the kingdom of God. So before you lead others, make sure you know where you are. Make sure you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the most basic thing that everyone needs to do who wants to be a leader in the church. And then the second thing they need to do is make sure they're applying the Great Commission to themselves. The Great Commission says to teach the disciples and the nations. All the things that God has commanded. Are you teaching yourself the things that God has commanded? You can't lead other people to fulfill the duty of the church unless you're doing it to yourself. Don't think that you should be leading the women's fellowship if you're not reading the Word of God. Don't think you should be leading the choir to lead people to worship God if you don't care who God is, if you don't care what commands He's given, if you don't care what your responsibility is, because you should not think your worship is going to be pleasing in His sight. A good check of where you are with God. Check. Okay. Validation. Is what you do with His Word. If you love Christ, He is the Word of God. It expresses Him. So if you love Christ, you have to love His Word. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Where you are with Christ is demonstrated where you are with your Bible. If you never open it, you should not think that you have an open relationship with Christ. Before you can help lead the church to fulfill the Great Commission, you need to make sure that you're fulfilling it for yourself. Then you can lead others. Another principle that's key for anybody who wants to do the work of fulfilling God's commandment to the church is that they need to understand their position in the world. God has ordered the whole world for one thing, for His glory. If you're taking a position in the church, whether it's on the local church council or I can name whatever positions you hold, if you're looking for people to say, well done, you're doing it for your glory. And God is still a jealous God. He is still a jealous God. He's destroyed nations because He's a jealous God. Don't think He won't destroy you. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. John the Baptist, he said after Christ came, When his disciples come to him and say, look, all those men are following Christ and they stop following you. He understood the basic principle of ministry. He said, I must decrease and Christ must increase. If you do anything else, you're not ministering in Christ's name, regardless of how many times you say it, you're ministering in your name. You're ministering for your glory. And God is a jealous God. He brings low those who rise up against Him. When God, through His church, says, you have this responsibility. Handle it with care. For if you abuse His church, He is a God who loves His wife. As you read through the Old Testament, you see Him judging people over and over and over again. Because they did not treat God as God. Because they raised themselves up and made God low. The basic responsibility of the church is to raise God up and make themselves low. The meek inherit the earth. The meek inherit the earth. If you are doing it out of pride, if you're doing it to raise yourself up so that people look towards you, don't expect God to bless that. Expect God to curse that. So with that context, I want to talk about what the church should do, what the lay leaders in the church should do in ministry to the church. Those who are more mature in the faith, those who are more zealous for God, those who God has given gifts to, they have real responsibilities to strengthen the church rather than weaken the church. And what I've seen a lot of in my life is that they weaken the church in a very specific way. Instead of strengthening families, they undermine families. When you read Scripture, who has the primary responsibility to teach the Word of God to their children? Is it the Sunday school teacher? No. Is it the elder and pastor? No. It's the father. In Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy is written when Moses is about to die. And And he recounts everything that happened in his life. And he comes to where God gave the Ten Commandments to him. And he says, I've been your teacher. But I'm going away. And so then he appoints who has the responsibility to teach the Word of God generation by generation. And he doesn't say the Levites. He doesn't say the Levites are supposed to come in and teach the children. He doesn't say the civil leaders, the magistrates. He's explicit. He says the fathers are to do it. Let me read Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 1. So Deuteronomy 6:1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. That you may fear the Lord your God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. God is saying through Moses that they received the law from Moses' words. But we're the next generation, the next generation, the next generation. Were they supposed to receive the commandments of God as from the mouth of their father? So if you're going to fulfill the Great Commission, you're not allowed to do it according to your own wisdom. Because then you are not fulfilling the commands of Christ. Because Christ is the one who gave Moses the law. When you read this, this is Christ giving this commandment. So in every ministry, the question has to be asked, am I strengthening the system that God set up? Or am I undermining it? Because if we're to fulfill the Great Commission, to teach them to obey every commandment that I have given, you have to obey His commands. He didn't just set up a system that we can walk in and do whatever we want. God has set up a system that He says is the righteous way to do it. So when we take this back, what does this look like in practical outworking? What should men's fellowship do? Men's fellowship should be, the men should be asking one another. What are you doing with your families? That should be the primary thing that men's fellowship does. At least towards the its ministry towards the church. One of the things that you have organizations like that for has to be for accountability. Has to be saying, are you doing the commands of Christ? Men have given, God has given men, other men, to say, are you doing what you're supposed to do? When Cain killed Abel, and God asked him, where's your brother? Cain's answer is, am I my brother's keeper? That is the most basic description of someone who hates his neighbor. When you think of an organization like Men's Fellowship, it has to be about love. It has to be about caring for one another. It has to be about being your brother's keeper. When we organize these things, and we organize them by men and by women, there's reasons to do that. A man understands what another man's going through. Because God has given men different roles than women. And like Titus 2 specifically says why there needs to be women ministering to women. Because a man can't teach a woman how to love her husband. A man has no idea how to love a husband. And the way a woman loves her children is different than how a man loves his children. Because God gave men different responsibilities than women. And so it takes a woman to teach another woman how to love her children. But if you think of what those basic ministries are about, they're not about undermining the family. They're about strengthening the family. There's a very shocking verse in 1 Corinthians 14:34. That at least in the United States causes great distress in churches.
Uh-huh.
Let your women keep silent in the church.
1 Corinthians 14:34.
Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they are not permitted to speak. But they are to be submissive, as the law also says. In 35, and if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. This is a hated verse in America. But do you understand why God put it in the Bible? When a pastor stands up on a Sunday morning and preaches, there should be a time where there can be interaction. And God is saying the woman's not allowed to speak because she's under her husband's authority. Because the agreement of theology between the husband and wife is more important than the agreement of theology between between the wife and the pastor. Let me get this right. So what she has to do is ask her husband at home, so that the pastor isn't dividing the husband and the wife. This is how serious God takes the family. And how serious He takes the idea of the church dividing the family. God says that the church is not supposed to divide the family. Because who has the highest authority in the family for the teaching of God's Word? Not the elder. Not the pastor. The father. And God gives us this picture in Ephesians 5. Because it's not just towards the children. It's the picture of the gospel. Jesus Christ washes His bride in the water of the Word. When a father and a husband is not teaching the Word in his home, he's twisting the gospel. Because that is key to what the gospel is. Is that Jesus Christ is cleansing His bride. And every ministry in the church should be making sure the same thing happens in the families of the church. And anything that undermines that is contrary to the commands of Christ. You're not a mature man of God. I'm going to speak to the men now.
Hey, by
you You are not a mature man of God. You may not even be a man of God if you will not read the Word to your wife and children. It is the most basic sign of hatred. If you will not tell your children that they are going to go to hell unless they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than that. The church's duty is to teach them to obey all things that Christ has commanded. The most basic duty of a man is to teach his wife and children what Christ has commanded. If you are failing to do that, if you're failing to do the most basic commandments, don't say you love God. Because this is the love of God. To keep His commandments. No ministry in the church should undermine that. Every ministry in the church needs to be about doing things God's way. Because if instead of doing it God's way, we do it our own way, we are increasing. We are increasing. Rather than God increasing. We're receiving the glory. Rather than God receiving the glory. The ministries of the church need to be about getting families to be in order. And it's really easy for them to undermine the order of families. The order that God put in place that is all wise. The women's fellowship can say, but our husbands don't teach us. So let's just teach each other. They weren't allowed to divide with the pastor. Because of 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35. But now we say the women can divide from the men. That is not God's order. Churches have to love the men in the church enough to say, if you don't care enough about your children to read the Word to them, why do you think you know Christ? Why do you think you love Christ? If you won't read the Word, you don't love the Word, and you don't love Christ. It's really simple. It's crucial that the ministries of the church do things in the order that God says they are to be done. And it's to put the Word of God in its proper place. Let's talk about other ministries. It's really easy for church councils to get together to exalt themselves. Or to get together to do things that undermine God's order. Instead of saying, how do we get the focus on the Word of God for these churches? The churches need the Word of God. That's where the healing is. That's where the hope has to be. False prophets come all the time. Nigeria is famous worldwide for its false prophets. And false prophets always say the same thing. You don't really need to pay attention to the Word. Everything will be fine. The church needs to say the opposite in every ministry. It doesn't matter how wise we think we are. What we need is the wisdom that God has given us. God does not accept a rebellious bride. God chastens, God cleanses, God purges, God deals with the problem. Everything needs to be about submitting to God. When you think of the choir, does the choir exalt the Word of God? That should be the focus of every ministry of the church. Jesus Christ said why He gave Him hymns, and spiritual songs. He gave that to the church so that they could understand and learn. Every ministry of the church is to be focused on exalting God. It's really important that that's what your ministries are about. In not exalting Him the way you think He should be exalted. But exalting Him in the way He says He should be exalted in His Word. And the way He's to be exalted according to His Word is really simple. You obey His commandments. As it says in Ecclesiastes 12:13. 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is the basic ministry of the church, of everything. It's to fear God and do what He says. Every ministry of the church must be about the same things. Because this is man's all. Fear God and keep His commandments. When you're ministering with people, never do anything to diminish the fear of God. And it's really easy to do it. It's really easy when somebody's struggling with sin to say, but I see how faithful you are going to church. I know you're a faithful man of God. That is to remove fear of God, which is the opposite of what God commands us to do. The message of the church, internally even, needs to be fear God. And this word is not, oh, have reverence towards God. This word does not have reverence towards God. This is fear God. Be scared to death. God considers sin so serious that one person ate a fruit that they were told not to eat. And because they ate that one fruit, billions and billions of people have died. And not just their offspring died. How many animals have died because one person ate a piece of fruit? We look at the world around us. We see death everywhere. All of that is because one person took a bite of fruit. That was what God's response was to one person taking a bite of fruit. This is a God that needs to be feared. And don't go, but we're such good people, God has to be kind to us. Have you ever said a crossword to somebody? That would have caused billions of people to die. Did you ever look at a woman to lust for her? That's how serious God considers that. Did you just go, I wish I had his house rather than my house? God says that's worthy of death. God says He is so holy, so perfect, that He cannot sit back and do nothing. When somebody just says, I want His house and not have to work for it. Why did God give me this house? One little lie. Worthy of being in hell for eternity. In utter darkness. Probably everybody in this room has burned themselves at some point in time. Hell is every single spot on your body having the pain of that burn for all eternity. While you're screaming in utter darkness with no hope of ever having contact with anybody ever again. That's how holy God is. That's what every ministry of the church needs to be pointing to. This is the God that we serve. You need to teach the fear of God. You need to have the fear of God in your own heart. Because the fear of God is clean. The fear of God purges sin. When we see God for who He is, when we see the judgment that we're due, there's only one thing to do. And that's to flee to Christ. That's to fall down before Him and beg Him for forgiveness. Because in Christ we have the testimony of what God thinks of sin. It is so serious. It is of such significance that He sent His only begotten Son, who had no sin, to receive the punishment for sin. But what we need to maintain, and what every ministry of the church needs to maintain, is a fear of God. Because when we stop fearing God, we stop recognizing the sacrifice of Christ. It's only when we understand why we need a Savior that we will show honor to that Savior for what He did. We need to be teaching the holiness of God. We need to be leading other people to understand the fear of God. We need to be telling our fathers, if you don't care enough to speak to your children about who He is, you should be filled with terror. For He says that if you treat the little ones that way, it is better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and to be thrown into a lake. The church needs to not allow the men in the church to abuse their children. Since we have more time than I thought, since I went faster than I thought, let me talk about accountability some more. Huh? If we
okay, you got it.
If we see God as holy, and if we are our brother's keeper, then we are going to want to constrain our brother's or sister's sin. And that starts with a basic view that you have the right to see into other people's lives. Like Paul writes to Corinth, I believe it's Corinth. You have seen my whole life before you. You know exactly how I lived. That's because everybody could look at him and say, this is a holy man. This is a righteous man. We need to live our lives openly before one another. Where we show our sins, show our failings, show our need for prayer and repentance. And frequently, the subgroups in a church can be a good way to have that accountability. It can't just be the responsibility of the pastors and the elders. The elders need to be their brother's keepers. But every Christian needs to be their brother's keeper as well. And so there's two aspects of that. One is being willing to confront other people in their sin. Because of fear of God, because of seeing the holiness of God, we recognize the seriousness of sin, and so we love our brother and sister enough to say something. Now we do it after we've dealt with that same sin in our own heart, in our own lives. But we deal with the sin. It's the most basic way that we love our neighbor. But there's another related way that we love our neighbor. Is we don't put temptation in front of them to sin. What we do is we put constraints in place so that it's harder for them to sin. When we count the offering, you have multiple people. But there's other ways that we can tempt others to sin. Especially for women, the way they dress. I might as well get in trouble all over the place. A woman has a right not to dress in a way to, or has a responsibility not to dress in a way to tempt a man. It is important for us to recognize that we have a duty. The man has a duty not to look at the woman, but the woman has a duty to make it easier for a man to do that. But it can work the same way or similar ways with men. The sin may not be the same, But we know, like in the qualifications for an elder, it says, let them not be a novice.
Let them not
be a novice, young in the faith.
Okay.
Because if they are, people will come and say, what a great sermon. And they'll be puffed up with pride. And they'll be destroyed. But this goes a lot broader than an elder. Be careful that you don't flatter people and puff them up. Because that can destroy them. Because pride is the most basic sin. Why did Eve eat that apple, or that fruit, excuse me? She ate that fruit because she said, what, God gets to decide what's good and evil? Satan had said, why can't you decide? And out of pride, she ate the fruit. Because she said, why should God get to decide what's good and evil? Pride is the root of all other sins. Part of our responsibility of how to love one another in the church which is the heads of the ministries of the church, this has to be a key thing that you do. Is work to constrain sin. Not work to increase it. This is how the church becomes a witness to the world. It starts by being a holy and separate people. And the way you're a holy and separate people is you obey God's commandments. Both individually. But every ministry of the church needs to be about getting the church to obey the commandments of God. Because that's what the duty He has given to the church and the world. And it starts in the church. Before we can evangelize the world, we need to deal with ourselves. Let me close this in prayer. Oh Lord God, we do pray that You guide us to the ways that these ministries can be a blessing. It's easy for certain ministries, like the choir, instead of creating humility, creates pride. Lord, I pray that You work to give wisdom to the people here, the men and women. So that they cause and help their churches to obey the commands of God. And I specifically pray that if there's anyone here who doesn't fear God, who hasn't seen the seriousness of their sin, that You open their eyes and let them flee to Christ. We pray in Your precious Son's name. For there is no other name in heaven by which one can be saved. So we praise your name. Amen.
Amen.